Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn at your feet. Thank you for the word you have sent our way today. Thank you for the one you sent last week. Thank you for the previous ones. And thank you for the testimonies that we've had so far. Blessed be your name in Jesus' name. Father, visit everyone today and let no one return back the same way. Grant everyone an encounter of a lifetime in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains the law of keenness, and it's part of the series called How to Speed Up the Fulfillment of Your Destiny, Part 4. Last week, we were able to look at the law of mentorship, and we understood that one of the ways that God grants us speed in life is through mentorship. He just decides to show us the way without the pain that those who have gone ahead have gone through. So instead of having the same experience they've had, all the negative experiences, all the bad experiences, you just use them as the bridge to cross over to where you're going. And God thereby grants you speed. So one other way that God grants us speed is through the law of keenness. What is keenness? But before then, let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." So it's talking about pursue. If you don't pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, you won't have them. Then Hebrews 6:11 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." He said you must show the same diligence. You must take actions. You must move towards that hope before you can get it. Then lastly, we are looking at Isaiah 11:3 that says, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of the eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears." Praise the Lord. So it's talking about the smartness that comes from the law of keenness. Praise God. What is keenness? Let's look at several definitions of keenness so that we could understand and be on the same page. Number one, it is the quality of being eager or enthusiastic. Eagerness. That is what Google Dictionary says. Then Oxford Dictionary defines it in two other ways. That is the ability to understand things quickly. The ability to understand things quickly. And thirdly, an ability to see, notice, or hear things very well. I'm going to go through them again. Number one, the quality of being eager or enthusiastic. That is eagerness. Then the ability to understand things quickly. That's Oxford now. The first one was Google. Then the third one, an ability to see, to notice, and to hear things very well. Praise God. Our ability to see, the ability to interpret things, and the ability to take the right actions is actually what they call smartness. That means you are able to see events or people or places and know that, okay, this is what this is at this particular point in time. Praise God. So another word for keenness that we are discussing today is smartness. That is what the people of the world call it. Smartness. They say, oh, he's a very smart person. That's why we have smartphones. Why do we call them smartphones? Because they can quickly understand what you want to do and tell you what to do and interpret things and, you know, make you smart and faster in life. So that is what keenness is talking about. Without this law, we may have unnecessary delays in this fast-paced world that we are in. If you don't have the law of keenness or understand it or apply it appropriately, the person may just be behind his mates. I pray that none of us will be behind or cover our faces in shame when our mates appear in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, what is the relevance and the power of keenness? Number one, we need to understand that desire is the fuel of pursuit. Without desire, you can't pursue anything to fruition in life. So if you don't have the desire to be rich, the person is definitely not going to be rich. Maybe this world may not understand because almost everybody wants to be rich now. But in the olden days, when Christianity was coming up, many people actually sworn an oath to poverty. They wanted to be poor. And guess what? They were really, really poor. You know, that's why they used to say, as poor as church rats. And in fact, in those days, were they actually rats in churches? What were the rats going to eat? Bishop Edokpo used to say that they were actually calling the people in the church rats, because those were the people that went to church. Rats will actually go to where they have food to eat. And if there are no papers, nothing to eat in church, they're not going to go there. There is nothing to eat in church. So desire is the fuel of pursuit. If you don't want to be married, you're not going to be married. If you don't desire a good marriage, a good job, a good business, you are not going to get it. So number one, we must understand that desire is the fuel of pursuit. If I desire it, then I can pursue it. Then I can get it. Praise the Lord. You only have an abundance of what you truly value, desire, and pursue. So like an adage in the West is, you are actually prosperous in the things you desire. So desire, longing, or eagerness is a gift. We must understand it also as a gift. What do we mean by this? Your desire or enthusiasm is a true measure of what you have inside of you. Your desire, your longing, your eagerness is a gift. And it's a proof, it's a pointer to the things that you actually contain inside of you. It's a pointer to your gift. It's a pointer to the natural inclinations that God has put inside of you, your talents. So there's a reason you have no value or desire for what others desperately crave or chase after. Now, yes, we have to be careful about this, but we need to understand it on the surface level that there's a reason why you don't desire the things that some people desire. For example, why some people will almost kill themselves to go and watch some football match, some of us just don't care. And why some of us want to look at artworks and say, oh wow, this is beautiful, how did they do it? I wish I could do this, and I want to take steps to do it. Some people just say, wow, what is the meaning of all these things? They are hanging everywhere. They just don't see anything different in it. So you must understand that what you desire in life, the natural desires that come inside of you, they are sometimes proofs of the things that you contain inside, proofs of the gifts you have, proofs of your natural inclinations. Praise the Lord. So you see what you contain and are attracted to it. So as an artist, you see beauty where others see junk. Now, I remember when I was in secondary school, our final teacher would tell us to look at cracks on the wall or on the floor. That if you look at it very well, you're going to see shapes, you're going to see beautiful things. And I was surprised that I started seeing those things. If you look at a wall, just a wall that has no painting, nothing, you can see different patterns that are just formed by the way the artisans made the wall. You just see different patterns, see different things. Many people can never see anything there. They look at the same thing. Some people see nothing, just see rubbish. Why some people see beauty? I have a friend that uses scraps of metal that you throw away, uses them to form beautiful artworks. You need to see how beautiful those artworks are. And they are really valuable. People are paying a lot of money to buy them. So this is just telling us in life that what you see could be a proof of the gift you have in you. That is telling you about the relevance and the power of keenness. So number one that we looked at is desire is the fuel of pursuit. Then number two, the ability to quickly interpret truths and also know what to do with them and then do it is the biblical definition of wisdom. For you to interpret something that you see in the right way and also take the right action, that is biblical wisdom. And wisdom is not just discernment, it is also the accurate interpretation of people. If you interpret people differently in life, the person will not move forward in life. Everybody that comes to you in life, they are not the same. Several men will come to a woman, but one of them is his husband, not all of them. The same thing applies to a woman. You see several ones. What makes you see one as husband while others are just friends or just people you could never relate with? So, the ability to quickly interpret truths or to know people or to know events is wisdom. Not just to know them, to know what to do with them and to do those things at the right time, in the right way. So, wisdom is not just discernment, it is the accurate interpretation of people, of places, of events, and then taking the right action or reaction to each. For example, somebody will go to the bush and say, yes, this is where the church will be. This is where it is. He was able to discern the place. Others are passing through the place. Others are seeing that place as, okay, it's just a place for the den of thieves. And somebody said, this is where Canaan land will be. And today we see several things happening in that place. Life came to that place. And somebody else will go all the way into the bush and say, this is where redemption camp will be. where we have a 3 kilometer by 3 kilometer auditorium. Discernment, wisdom, not just discernment. Somebody will discern it. Maybe many people discerned that place before these people came there, but somebody took the action. The person who took the action is the wise person. So we must understand that that is true wisdom. Praise God. Then there are 3 important words to look at here. Number 1 is discernment. The law of keenness is talking about discernment, ability to know the difference between things, between events, between people. Discernment. Your discernment decides whether you'll be rich or poor in life. It decides whether someone will be successful or a failure. Praise God. So you must be able to discern between opportunities. Somebody will make a lot of money, and because of lack of discernment, you just throw it away into the hands of con men. Now, somebody else will see garbage and see opportunity. Discernment. He was able to discern between the two. Praise God. So discernment is the ability to know the difference between people, between places, and events. Then number 2, understanding. The second word we are looking at is understanding. Understanding is the accurate interpretation of intentions, events, and words. That you are able to understand and interpret it. The difference between people in church is understanding. Not that we can't hear things. Somebody else heard it and did it. He was able to interpret what the word of God is saying, and he was able to take action. If you don't understand, you can't take the right action. We must know that. If you don't interpret something accurately, you can't use that thing effectively. You can't maximize that thing effectively. So the understanding is a major word to look at in maximizing the law of keenness. Then thirdly, the word is action. You may have all the discernment in the world. You may understand everything. In fact, teach people about it. If you don't take the right action, you can't have success in that area of life. And remember, we are looking at the law of keenness for good success. So action here is talking about the ability to do what is needful and do it right. Not just the ability to do it, but doing it right. Someone knows that he should pray, but it's not praying right. Someone knows that he should read, but it's not reading right. Someone knows that he should go to school, but he's studying the wrong course. So we are talking about the right action here. The law of discernment, which makes you smart, is talking about you having discernment, having understanding. After you have discerned that this is different from others, you are able to interpret accurately. Then you are able to take the right action. I pray that that grace will be released to us to discern accurately, to understand effectively and rightly, and to take actions rightly, not just rightly, at the right time. A good action taken in the wrong time will still produce wrong effects. Praise God. God made sure that there's a law of keenness so that we could put our focus in the right place. Let's look at this for example. If I have some wood around me and nails, and I take the nail and I'm hitting the floor, instead of putting one piece of wood on another to form good furniture, I just took the nail, I took the wood, and I went to the floor and I started nailing it to the floor. Will I have the same result? Definitely no. I won't have the same result. So God is making us have the law of keenness, so that we could apply our energy in the right place, so that we can focus in the right place. Praise the Lord. So use the law of keenness to know where to put your energy. After you have discerned your gifts, you have discerned where you have ability, where you have desires, where you have energy, where you have gifts, then you are putting that energy, those gifts, in the right place so that you could have success in it. That is where you'll be most effective, when you put your energy in the right place. So stop wasting yourself on where you are not gifted and not effective. Learn to be smart. That is what smartness is, when you are putting your energy in the right place. It's just like somebody who doesn't know how to sing, who cannot sing very well, now wakes up one day, let me make us laugh a little. We know that many of us, maybe sometimes we've watched all these reality shows where people go to sing so that they could choose the best singers. You see people making a mockery of themselves, people who have no business singing at all. They will go there singing all kinds of crap and call it music. And you know, people just laugh at them because they look at the monetary gifts or prizes at the end of the competition and they just go there and compete when they have no business being there. So that is how life is. When you put your energy in the wrong place, the person cannot have the right results. Praise God. So we need to understand that discernment, understanding, and the right actions are the things to do or to understand when it comes to the law of kindness. Praise the Lord. Then, in continuation, how do I maximize the law of kindness? What does it mean to maximize? That means to make full proof of it, to enjoy everything in it. You know, when you take orange, there are different ways to enjoy the same orange. You could just squeeze it and drink the water. Fine. You could decide to squeeze a little more and enjoy more and eat a little of the pulp. Then you can decide to take your two ends, remove all the things inside and eat everything except the back part. It's still taking your orange. So how do you maximize? How do you enjoy all the many-sided benefits of kindness? Isaiah 11:3 says, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears." I believe one of the things that explains how to maximize this more is Isaiah 11:3. Step one is fear God. Let's remember before I explain this, the way things work in the kingdom of God is not the way things work in the kingdom of this world. Let me say it again. The way things work in the kingdom of God, we children of God, we need to understand this very well. It is not the same way it works for the people of the world. The people of the world will tell you, when you want to talk about smartness, go to school, learn this, learn that. Yes, they are all good. There are things that work in this world. But we are talking about children of God maximizing this law. Now, first thing is the fear of God. It says, because his delight is in the fear of the Lord, he will not judge by the sight of the eyes. He will not decide by what he hears. Let's look at the example of Solomon. If you were faced with the same situation, you probably would have done something else. Two women came to him with a dead child and a living child, and both of them were claiming the living child. Nobody wants to claim the dead child. And Solomon said, okay, kill both children and give them and share them, slice them into two, then share them for both of the women. The rightful owner of the child said, no, okay, if it has come to this extreme measure, just keep the living child with that woman. At least I don't want my child to die. And someone said, yes, of course, you are indeed the rightful owner of the child. In the wisdom of the world, no one would think along that line. They would say, go and do DNA, go and do this one, go and do that. And in fact, all those years, there was nothing like DNA. But because of the wisdom of God, they were able to discern. And there are many things that the wisdom of this world cannot work for. Look at the example of Daniel in the Bible. He and the other governors were given a task of interpreting a dream they didn't even hear about at all. And that is the exact thing that you and I face in this world. If you are a designer, if you are selling a product, you are a business person, whoever you are in this world, even husbands and wives, spouses, fathers, children, your children want you to understand what they are going through and tell them the right thing to do. The same thing, parents want their children to understand what they want and do the right thing. Husband wants their wives to understand them. Wives want their husbands to understand them. And you are actually not telling them these dreams to interpret. So how do we succeed in this area? Looking at my personal example, I've met clients that told me that, okay, I need web design. And I did it for them. They expect you to do what they want. They tell you to do it this way, do it that way. But actually what they need is not what they are talking about. I've seen it several times. For example, there's a client that said, what I want is blue color for my website. But when we did the website, we used a totally different color. And guess what? The man liked it. That was the color he wanted. Yet he said we should use blue. How do they know we should not use blue? Discernment. So, this world, there's a wisdom that is beyond normal human understanding that will bring you success. And that is exactly what Daniel had. That is exactly the wisdom God wants you to have. For example, you are selling a good. Somebody said, I want blue color. I want red color. And that is not what he wants. Or he said, I want this style. And the only thing he can tell you, no, give him this one. And he said, yes, this is exactly what I want. And that will bring you more profit. So that is just to let you know how important this law of kindness is. So the fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't want to judge by human understanding, then have the fear of God. What does it mean to fear God? Just obey God consistently. That is holiness. That is what is called righteousness. Obey God consistently. If you obey God consistently, then there is no sin in your life. Praise God. So we need to understand that the fear of God is what will bring you wisdom. It is the beginning of wisdom. Praise God. If you look at Job chapter 28, just read the whole chapter. If you've not read before, we all need to read it. Job 28. It tells us about the kind of wisdom that is required. It said, this kind of wisdom that God wants to give you through the fear of the Lord is beyond human comprehension. He said, the kings of the world don't have it. The people of the world don't have it. The professors don't have it. They lack it. The doctors don't have it. He said, it is beyond the wisdom of this world. How could somebody be sick and God says, I want to operate on you? And by the time he woke up, he's seen metal objects implant on his body beside his bed. No blood, nothing. God just removed it. What kind of wisdom is that? That is not the wisdom of this world. So we are also talking about the wisdom in the marketplace, in the real world, in the secular world. Maybe you have a job, you're a lawyer, you're a businessman, you're a doctor, whatever you do, God wants that wisdom to be at work in you. How do you interpret the dream in the mind of the other person? It is this wisdom we are talking about. Daniel was able to understand the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He interpreted it and he told him what to do. That is another level. That is the difference between prophets and seers. Seers will tell you, oh, your mother is behind your case. What do I do? Kill your mother. That is what somebody else will say. Or your wife is behind your issue. What should I do? Divorce your wife. But we know that that's not biblical. But someone who has the wisdom of God could say, okay, now this is what you should do. And the challenge will be over. Without you breaking the law of God, without you being stupid. So that is where the wisdom of God comes from. Fear of God is where the wisdom comes from. Then step two to maximizing the law of kindness is feed yourself with the word of God. There's a default wisdom in the life of every child of God who fears God. But the only way you can realize that and bring it out to you is through the word of God. If you don't read the word of God, that wisdom is there by default. It's just like when you have raw cocoa in the farm. Raw cocoa is nothing. You dry it, it's not looking appealing. But when it turns to chocolate, you get your chocolate in your mouth, it looks differently. The same way, this wisdom of God is there, raw, in the life of those who fear God. But without the word of God, you can't interpret it. You can't bring it down to this world where you need it. It's just in the realm of the spirit. And it is not effective in the realm of the spirit. It is in the world that we have that you can use it to bring good success. Praise the Lord. So the Bible tells us that if you feed on the word of God, Psalm 119, he said you'll be wiser than your teachers. And we can see that COVID-19 reveals so many foolishness in the wisdom of this world. We saw the decisions taken by all the governments of the world, almost all. They just started locking down everywhere. All of us that we understood what some of our pastors were saying then, Bishop Oyedepo and many other people, they were just saying, that is not the right way. Now, monkeypox has come. Nobody is locking down again now. And the question is, now that they are not locking down, does it mean that COVID-19 has gone? Of course, no. People are still having it. But locking down is just the natural wisdom that came to them and they used it and they destroyed all the economy for everyone. Now, the wisdom of God tells you that there's a different way to approach this issue. Praise God. So, we must understand that the kingdom of God functions differently. If you're in the kingdom of God, then don't apply things like the people of the world. Then step three, as we close, eagerness is also called zeal. The step three is eagerness. Without eagerness, you can't get anything in the kingdom of God. Without desire, it will be far from you. Eagerness is also called zeal. It's called willingness. It's called hope. It's called desire. God cannot use or bless you without all these things we just mentioned. Without zeal, without eagerness, without willingness, God's blessing cannot come to any man because you cannot even obey God. Isaiah chapter 1, 19 to 20 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So if there is no willingness, there cannot be obedience. Now, let me just give this short example. There's a time I pray every day at night. Yesterday, I had every reason. I convinced myself that, no, let me just sleep because I'm going to church this morning. I gave myself several excuses. But because there was just a little willingness, the Holy Spirit was telling me I still need to obey and observe that time of prayer, but I just felt, maybe let me just go and sleep. But because of a little willingness that the Holy Spirit was able to put in me, I stood up again and prayed. I wish I would be like that every day of my life. So willingness is what determines obedience. If you are not willing, you can obey. And if you don't obey, you can eat the good of the land. Number three step to maximizing the law of kindness is eagerness, willingness. You have to be eager to be blessed for you to receive blessing. If you are not eager to have the blessings of God, you won't think about knowing what it requires for you to do it. You won't even think about, okay, so what do I do to prosper? You won't want to give, because without giving, you can't receive. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because when you are receiving in return, you're going to have more than you give. But if you are not willing to do what God commands, you can't get all the blessings. Praise the Lord. And lastly, your smartness in life is judged by the actions you take, how on time you take them, and how effective they are. The Bible says, how forcible are right words? It said they're like apples of gold in settings of silver. So if you take the right action at the right time, then you have the right effect. But how do you take them? Without discernment and understanding. So that is why we need to have discernment, understanding, then we can take the right action. So eventually, everything we have said still revolves and bounces back on taking the right action and taking it at the right time. Praise the Lord. Then what is the enemy of the law of kindness? It is laziness. And I rebuke the spirit of laziness in the life of every one of us in the name of Jesus. Laziness. Laziness means that you are not willing to go the extra mile to do what is required for you to get to the right place or to do the right thing. Laziness. The dreams of God don't die. That means the things that God has put in your spirit, they don't ever go off. The only thing that makes us not to do them is laziness. You know, you're just pushing it to tomorrow. Procrastination. Okay, I will do it tomorrow. I'll do it next tomorrow. I understand procrastination more than anyone else in this world, I believe. And it is one of the greatest enemies of believers in this world. Laziness. Then, what is the other enemy of the law of kindness? The other enemy is, of course, I mentioned the procrastination. You know, laziness, procrastination. And just thinking, you say, I have more time. More time, more time. Praise the Lord. So I pray that as we have heard the word of God today, we also receive the grace to do what is required for us to have the good success out of it in Jesus' name. And in closing, let's just remember that without eagerness, you can't pursue anything right. That is, desire is the fuel of pursuit. If you don't have desire, if you don't have willingness, you can't pursue anything worthwhile in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So now I'll be opening up the mics for us to be able to ask questions. If you have any question, today we'll just be taking questions because of our time. So if you have any question you want to ask about the law of eagerness or smartness, please, you are free to ask your questions. Praise the Lord. Just 2 minutes for each person, or 1 minute, please. So if you have any question about what we've learned today, I'm free to answer your questions, please. Hallelujah. Okay, I will answer that. Okay, do you have any other question? So I can take it together because of our time. Any other question? Okay, praise God. So I would say eagerness makes you prepare. Eagerness and preparation are not the same. Preparation is, you know, the action taken because of your eagerness. Like, you are eager to succeed as a pastor. You are eager to succeed as a businessman. You are eager to succeed in marriage. Then you now prepare for that success. You prepare for that success. For example, if you are eager to be a successful businessman, what do? You start learning about that business. You start your preparation. If you already have the money, you take money to go and get the shop, you buy the goods, you bring them in. You know, in all these things, you have not even started the business. You are just preparing. You are just bringing the goods in. You are learning maybe a trade, or as a pastor, you went to school, maybe a school of theology or whatever, depending on what they have in your denomination. That's the preparation towards the end you are looking at. So because of your eagerness, you get up to take an action that is relevant to take you to where you are going. That is your destination. So that is the difference between the two. Your eagerness is the fuel that prompts you to take the right action. And one of the actions you take is the preparation. Praise the Lord. I hope that explains it. Amen. Are you too? Do you have any other question? Okay, I believe it's all clear and we've all been blessed. And let's remember next week to invite someone. Invite someone, share the link of the Telegram group, share with people, share it on Facebook, share it on your WhatsApp status. If you need a design to share, you can just ask me. I will send it to you or put it on the platform. And I pray that we all have the grace. It's not enough to hear all these things. We also need to be able to do what is required to get the results we desire from them. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word you've sent to us today. Thank you for your word of truth and your word of life. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we receive grace to do what is required. In the name of Jesus, grace to fear you, that is to obey you consistently, so that we can walk in the wisdom of God. Release this to us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the grace to discern, to understand, and to take the right actions, release it to every one of us in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. See you next week and stay ever blessed. Amen. Praise God.
The good success.com.